This is side two with the WindowEyes 4.2 tutorial. Do the following to turn off the pop-up description for folders and files. This is that little tooltip that keeps popping up and being read, which I find very annoying at times. So we can turn that off as well. We can do Control Escape.
Start menu.
S for settings.
S does equal settings.
C for control panel.
Provide C. Menu closed. Window.
I'm going to silence that with the control key. Hit F for folders options.
F. Folder options.
And press
7 of 25. Property sheet, folder options, help close.
I'm going to silence that. I can do a shift tab to go to the focus, general tab control.
Tab control, general, 1 of 4.
I'm going to press right arrow till I get to the view.
View 2 of 4.
Tab to the advanced settings tree view. So I'm going to keep tabbing till I get there.
Button R equals reset all folder, tree view, advanced settings, files and folders expanded 18 items, depth 1.
Okay, I want to hit S for show pop-up description for folder and desktop items.
S. Show hidden files and folders, S. Show and manage the pair, S. Hide protected operating system, S. Show both parts but manage as a single, S. Show control panel in my computer off, S. Show both parts but manage as a single, S. Show pop-up description for folder and desktop items on 17 of 18.
That's what I want, and I want to hit the space.
Space. Show pop-up description for folder and desktop items off 17 of 18.
Now we're off, which is what I want, so I'm going to tab to OK.
Button D equals restored, button OK.
And hit enter.
List view address. Accessibility options 1 of 25.
We're back to the control panel. So again, I'm just going to shut it down. And we're back at the desktop. Do the following to turn off the window animation. We're just turning off a lot of eye candy, basically, that we really don't need, that just kind of slows up the system. So I'm going to do Control Escape to bring up the start menu.
Start menu.
S for settings.
S does equals.
Settings.
C for control panel. Control panel. C. Menu closed. Windows.
I'm going to silence that. Hit S till I get to system.
S. Scanners and S. Scheduled tab S. Sounds and audio S. Speech S. System. 23
there we go.
Of 25.
Hit enter.
Tab control. General 1 of 7. Property sheet dialog system properties help close.
I'm going to silence that. It's just reading the system properties dialog. I'm going to hit right arrow till I get to the advanced tab.
Computer name 2 of 7. Hardware 3 of 7. Advanced 4 of 7.
Now I'm going to hit the tab key to the first settings button and press space.
Button. S equals settings.
Now I'm going to hit space.
Space. Radio button. Check L equals let Windows choose what's...
I'm going to silence that because it's just going to read the performance options dialog that has lots of stuff there. I'm going to hit P to check the advance, or rather adjust for best performance radio button. So hit a P.
P. Radio button check P equals adjust for best performance 3 of 4.
That just makes your system run much faster. A screen reader in general is going to kind of slow things up a little bit because of what it has to do. So why have all this extra eye candy that's going to slow things up? So we can just turn that off and optimize it more for speed. So hit tab till I get to OK.
Preview. Anim. Button. OK. Button. S equals settings.
Tab again till I get to OK.
Property dialog system property. Button. E equals. Button T equals. Button N equals invite. Button R equals air. Button OK.
Hit enter.
List view address. Accessibility options 1 of 25. No selected item.
I'm going to silence that. I'm back to the control panel. I'm going to do an Alt-F4 to shut that down. And I'm back to the desktop. So we're done with all the Windows XP settings. The other operating systems are very similar. You're just making other adjustments to change it. And the goal is, again, to make the system as simple as possible, as fast as possible, and get rid of all the extra eye candy that we really don't need that just gets in the way of things. For Windows 98 and Millennium, you will need to disable the Active Desktop and disable certain animation features. Please take the time to do the following. If you do not do the following, you will have problems with certain aspects of using your computer. We receive many support calls that can all be solved if the user took the time to make the following changes, so please follow along. Windows Millennium Setup. This is also covered in Section 2.8 of the WindowEyes Manual. If you're using Windows Millennium, you will need to do the following changes. Since my system is using Windows XP, I cannot actually do the following, but you can still follow along with your Millennium system, so I'm still going to read the steps, I just can't actually do them. Do the following to set up the folder view settings for Windows Millennium only. 1. Press Control Escape to bring up the Start menu. 2. Press S to activate the Settings pull-down. 3. Press Enter to open the Control Panel. 4. Press F until you hear Folder Options. 5. Press Enter. 6. Press U for Use Windows Classic Desktop. 7. Press I for Use Windows Classic Folders. 8. Press Control Tab once to view. 9. Press Tab once to Advanced Settings. 10. Press the down arrow until you hear Remember Each Folder's View Settings. 11. If this option is on, press your spacebar to turn it off. 12, press Enter. 13, press Y to answer the Folder Views dialog question. 14, press Tab until you hear OK. 15, press Enter. Do the following to turn off transition effects for Windows Millennium only. 1, press Control Escape to bring up the Start menu. 2, press S to activate the Settings pull-down. 3, press Enter to open the Control Panel. 4, press D until you hear Display. 5, press Enter. 6, press Shift-Tab to focus the Background Tab control. 7, press the right arrow until you hear Effects. 8, press Tab until you reach the Use Transition Effects for Menus and Tooltips. 9, if the checkbox is checked, press your spacebar to uncheck it. 10, press Enter to close the display dialog. Do the following to turn off the pop-up descriptions for folders and files for Windows Millennium only. 1, press Control Escape. 2, press S for Settings. 3, press C for Control Panel. 4, press F for Folder Options and press Enter. 5, press Shift Tab to focus the General Tab control. 6, press right arrow to the View tab. 7, tap to the Advanced Settings list box. 8, press S for Show Pop-up Descriptions for Folder and Desktop Items. 9, press Space to uncheck the checkbox. 10, tab to OK and press Enter. Now on to Windows 98. Windows 98 Setup. This is also covered in Section 2.7 of the WindowWise Manual. If you're using Windows 98, you will need to do the following changes. Again, since my system is using Windows XP, I cannot actually do the following, but I will still list the procedures and you can do them with me. Do the following to set up the folder view settings in Windows 98 only. 1. Press Control Escape to pop up the Start menu. 2. Press Escape to remove the Start menu. 3. Press Tab until you are at the desktop. 4. Press the letter M until My Computer is selected. 5. Press Enter to activate My Computer. 6. Press Alt-V to activate the View menu. 7. Press O to activate the Folder Options dialog. 8. Press Control-Tab to activate the View Page tab. 9. Press Tab twice to activate the Advanced Settings Tree View. 10. Press the down arrow until you get to the Remember Each Folder's View Settings checkbox. 11. If the item is on, press the spacebar to turn it off. 12. Press Enter. 13. Press Y if you are presented with a Folder Views dialog. 14. Press Alt-F4 twice to return to the desktop. Do the following to disable the Active Desktop in Windows 98 only. 1. Press Control-Escape to pop up the Start menu. 2. Press S until the Settings pull-down is activated. 3. Press A to activate the Active Desktop pull-down. 4. Press the down arrow until you get to Customize My Desktop and press Enter. If the checkbox for View My Active Desktop as a web page is checked, press your spacebar to uncheck it. Press Tab until you get to the Folder Options button. 7. Press your spacebar to open the Folder Options dialog. 8. Press Y to save and close the display properties. 9. Once the Folder Options dialog opens, press C for Classic View. 10. Press Enter. Do the following to disable window animation in Windows 98 only. 1. Press Control Escape to pop up the Start menu. 2. Press S until the Settings pull-down is activated. 3. Press Enter to activate the Control Panel. 4. Press D until you hear Display. 5. Press Enter. 6. Press Shift-Tab once to focus the Background Tab control. 7. Press the right arrow until you hear Effects. 8. Press Tab until you hear the checkbox Animate Windows Menus and Lists. 9. If the checkbox is checked, press your spacebar to uncheck it. 10. Press Enter. 11. Press Alt-F4 to close the Control Panel. Your Windows XP, Millennium, or 98 system are now configured optimally for WindowWise. You are ready to proceed to the next section. Adjusting speech parameters. Regardless of what synthesizer you configured WindowWise for during the installation, you may not be satisfied with the rate or pitch or volume currently being used. This section will show you how you can easily adjust these parameters. We did talk a little bit about this in a previous section, but this section will cover it in much more detail. But before we get into that, a bit of background needs to be covered. WindowWise supports three different voices. There is the screen voice, the keyboard voice, and the mouse voice. Each voice can be turned on or off, have its rate, pitch, volume, or tone settings all be unique from the other voices. The screen voice is used when you read information from the screen. For example, when you read the status line, or you read the title bar for the current application, or you tab to an edit box. All of this information will be spoken using the screen voice. The keyboard voice is used to speak keys as you press them from the keyboard. The mouse voice is used as you read information relative to the mouse pointer or anything relating to the mouse, such as what the current mouse pointer is. Many people prefer to have all the voices be set up the same, but you can change each one independently of the others. For example, it is common to have the screen voice rate be slower than the keyboard rate. You have total control. To adjust any of these parameters, do the following. Make sure you have the NumLock key on your keyboard turned off. The NumLock is located on your numeric keypad on the right of the keyboard. It is the top left key on the numpad. As you press this key, you will notice WindowEyes will say NumLock on or NumLock off. Make sure it is off. So I'm going to go ahead and press my NumLock key to see where I'm at.
NumLock on.
It said NumLock on, so I actually had it off before I started. So I'm going to hit it again.
NumLock off.
And now we're back to off, which is where we want to be for WindowEyes commands. Many of the WindowEyes keys will use keys on the numpad, and they assume the NumLock is off. I'm assuming you understand how the Shift key on a keyboard works. If you want a lowercase a, for example, you simply press the letter A on your keyboard. But if you want a capital A, you would first press and hold the Shift key, and while it is down, you would press the letter A. Then you would let go of both keys. This is pretty basic. WindowEyes takes this same idea and also applies it to the Insert key. WindowEyes uses the Insert key very much like you would use the Shift key. So, if I say press Insert A, for example, you would press and hold down the Insert key, and while it is down, you would press the letter A, and then let go of both keys. The Insert key is the bottom left key on the numpad, and it's about twice the size of a normal key. There are four key presses that can be used to set the parameters for the three voices. They all include the Insert key, and they all include one of the four dedicated arrow keys. By dedicated arrow keys, I'm talking about the four arrow keys between your normal keyboard and the NumLock, just below the six-pack of keys. Many people refer to the dedicated arrows as an upside-down T. For example, going from right to left, immediately to the left of the Insert key is the dedicated right arrow. To its left is the dedicated down arrow, and to its left is the dedicated left arrow. The dedicated up arrow is right above the dedicated down arrow. Since we will be using the Insert key as a Shift key with the dedicated arrows, I suggest you press and hold the Insert key down with your right pinky finger. While still holding this down, you can use your index finger to press any of the four dedicated arrow keys. Insert right arrow is called the Select Rotor hotkey. I'm going to go ahead and press that. So I'm going to hold down the Insert key and hit the right arrow key while the Insert key is down. Here we go.
Keyboard.
Next press.
Mouse.
Again.
All.
Again.
Screen.
So there are four settings. I started on screen, I went to keyboard, mouse, all, and then back to screen again. When we change a parameter, we need to tell WindowEyes several things. We need to tell it which voice we want to change, we need to tell it which parameter of that voice we want to change, and then ultimately what that parameter is for that voice. In my case, I'm setting for screen. Notice the all setting. The all setting says I can change all of the voices, screen, keyboard, and mouse, a particular parameter for all of those at once. So if I want to make a global change and change all of them up to 7, I can just select all and go up from there. Insert left arrow is called the parameter rotor hotkey. So let me press insert left arrow.
Volume.
Again.
Tone.
Again.
Pitch.
Again.
Rate.
So there are four settings there, rate, pitch, tone, and volume. When you start up WindowEyes, it will default to the screen voice on the rate setting, which is where I'm sitting right now. Once you have the voice and parameter you wish to modify, you can press insert down arrow to decrease the setting, or press insert up arrow to increase the setting. So for example, I'm sitting on screen rate. Let me do an insert up arrow.
Screen rate 4. Screen rate 5. Screen rate 6. Screen rate 7. Screen rate 8. 339.
Notice it's talking very fast. I'll go up again. It's going to rotor back to zero.
Screen rate zero.
Very slow. I'm going to go back up to the rate of three.
Screen rate three.
I just typed it quickly, which interrupted the speech, and eventually got back to three. So my screen rate is back to three. I can use insert down arrow to slow it down as well. The rate, pitch, and volume options offer 10 settings from 0 to 9. The tone setting offers 26 tones from A to Z. Not all synthesizers support all the possible options. You will need to play with them to see what your particular synthesizer supports. Note when you shut down WindowEyes or your computer system, the voice changes you have made will be lost unless they are saved. When we get to the section on the WindowEyes control panel, I'll show you how you can save your current settings so they will be restored the next time you restart WindowEyes. Your Braille display. Assuming you have a Braille display connected and you configured WindowEyes to use it, you will notice that it is always displaying information relative to what is going on. For example, as you move around in Windows or within your application, the display will basically show the important information. The display is not simply showing exactly what your synthesizer is speaking. It is much more intelligent than that. As you tab around, the information being displayed can be broken down into three different components: control type, field name, and field data. The control type is the type of control you are on, like checkbox, radio button, edit box, etc. The field name is the label associated to the control, like first name, age, phone number, etc. The field data is the actual information in the control, like your actual name or age or phone number. By default, the display will show the control type you are in, followed by a blank cell, then the field name, followed by a blank cell, and finally the field data. This is all subject to change depending on your specific likes and wants. WindowEyes supports a wide range of Braille displays. Each display is different in how many cells it supports, if it has routing keys or double routing keys, and the number of buttons and their placement on the display. WindowEyes has default functions for each display. You can reference the WindowEyes README file for a complete up-to-date reference how each display is configured. One of the ways to get to the README file will be covered in the Navigating the Desktop section later on. Braille keys will allow you to scroll the display left and right or up and down from what you are currently looking at. You can get detailed attribute information or spacing information or track the mouse. There is a tremendous amount of flexibility in what you want the Braille keys to do, and as you'll find out later in this tutorial, it is extremely easy to configure the display to your exact wants and needs. If your Braille display supports routing keys, you can typically use them to issue a click at the position by default. If you place the mouse on a line in your applications that is constantly changing, giving the visual user an up-to-date account of what is happening, you can have the display update with this information as well. By default, a feature known as Quick Message Mode is enabled. Quick Message Mode is a feature that will display information that is typically not displayed on the screen, but is voiced. For example, when you press the NumLock or the Caps Lock keys, WindowEyes will speak the current state. As the mouse pointer changes, WindowEyes will speak the new pointer. There are many more examples like this, but in these cases, whatever was being shown on the display will be replaced with the quick message. After the default of 2 seconds, the display will go back to what was there before the quick message. This is a great way to get the quick speech message without disturbing your normal work. There is a great deal of power with your Braille display. Later on in this section, many of the options will be discussed in some detail. You should consult Section 18 of the WindowEyes Manual for a complete description of available features. And don't forget the README file, which describes the predefined keystrokes for each display. The mouse. Your computer system probably has a physical mouse attached to it. A physical mouse is not required for WindowEyes, but WindowEyes can take advantage of it if there. For example, as you move the physical mouse around the screen, you will notice that WindowEyes automatically reads and displays the information crossed. Typically, this is best suited for low vision users. This verbal feedback can greatly assist in making sure the low vision user is where they think they really are. So I'm going to go ahead and grab the physical mouse and start moving it around on the screen, and as it crosses information, it will be voiced. So here we go. I'm going to start over here just kind of randomly on the screen.
Window eyes.
How'd I randomly pick the icon for window eyes, which is up on the desktop.
Graphic.
I'm just
going to
come down. There's a graphic.
Recycle bin.
The recycle bin graphic that I came across. If I keep coming down, I might hit something
graphic.
Else. Another graphic.
Microsoft Outlook.
Microsoft Outlook.
Command prompt.
Command prompt.
MSN Explorer.
If I move it down over the start button on the bottom left.
Button. Start. Click here to begin.
Okay, let me go ahead and continue to move across the screen, maybe on the tool or the taskbar over here, and we hear
Window Eyes.
Window Eyes
window
again.
Eyes.
We heard it twice because once I moved over the text on the taskbar called Window Eyes, and again that little
window
tool
eyes.
Popped up. And as I moved off, I hit it again. Let me go down and see if I can get the time to be read.
4:18 p.m.
4:18 p.m. So this gives you a good indication of how moving the mouse around reads the information under the mouse. I don't have a lot of text on my screen, so it's not a good example, but depending on the application, you may or may not have lots of text, and this is a great way to have it read if you want to use the physical mouse. As the computer performs different tasks or goes into different modes, the mouse pointer will often adjust to fit the situation. For example, in a word processor, as the pointer moves over your document, it turns into an I-beam. If you move your pointer outside of the document, it may turn into an arrow. Or if you hit the boundary of a window, it may turn into a sizing arrow. Or if your system is busy doing other things, it may turn into an hourglass. As these pointers change, WindowEyes will, by default, speak this information to you. However, the mouse pointers will only be voiced if you are using Windows 95, 98, or Millennium. The mouse pointers will not be voiced with Windows 2000 or XP as of the recording of this tutorial. Of course, WindowEyes also gives you great flexibility of moving the mouse around from the keyboard. So don't feel that you are required to use the physical mouse. In fact, you may want to set the mouse aside so it doesn't get in your way. You will find there are very quick ways to move around the screen without ever having to touch the physical mouse. Later in this tutorial, we will talk about many of the common ways to manipulate the mouse from the keyboard. Navigating the desktop. When your computer first starts up, you are typically left sitting at what is known as the desktop. The desktop is the main interface into your operating system, whether it is 95, 98, Millennium, 2000, or XP. The desktop can be broken down into five different areas. The Start menu. The Start menu is located at the bottom left of your screen. It gives you access to all your applications and operating system functions. It is probably the most used feature of the operating system. A sighted user would typically click on the Start menu, which would cause it to open, exposing all its options. The Quick Launch. The Quick Launch may or may not be enabled. If it is enabled, it is immediately to the right of the Start menu. It can be used as a shortcut to start up certain installed applications. A sighted user would typically click on one of the graphics shown to launch that application. The taskbar. The taskbar is immediately to the right of the quick launch or to the right of the start menu if the quick launch is disabled. The taskbar shows visually all the applications that are currently running on your system. Note there is a difference by installed and running. For example, you may have installed Microsoft Office and Quicken and Outlook Express and many other applications, but only those that are currently running, like WindowEyes, would show up on the taskbar. A sighted user would typically click on one of the items in the taskbar to bring that application to the foreground. The SIS or system tray. The system tray is on the bottom right of your screen. The taskbar will show applications that are currently running, and the SIS tray will show utilities that are currently running. Depending on the utility, a sighted user would either click or double-click on one of the graphics to perform the desired action. To the right of all the graphics in the SIS tray is the system time. The desktop. The desktop comprises the majority of the screen. The bottom line has all the other components discussed previously, and everything above this is considered the desktop. This contains graphics representing applications that are installed. It is up to the user how many icons and which icons are displayed. A sighted user would move the mouse to the desired application and do a double left click to start that application. Now that you know the five areas of the desktop and how a sighted user would interact, let's look at each of these from the perspective of WindowEyes and the keyboard. So with WindowEyes currently running, I'm going to bring up the Start menu. And we talked about this earlier, there's several couple ways rather to bring up the Start menu. One, a sighted user would take the mouse over there and click on it, which is not an option for us. Or I can press Control Escape, meaning hold down the Control key and press the Escape key. Or I can press the Windows key, which is typically the key between the Control and the Alt on the left side of your keyboard. I personally like Control Escape, so I'm always using that. So I'm going to press Control Escape.
Start menu.
And WindowEyes says Start menu. Visually, it pops up a menu vertically on the screen. It's in the lower left side of my screen and shows me all the options in the current Start menu. The Start menu, again, is the interface into all the applications that are installed on your system, as well as some other nice little utilities that you may want to do. Although I brought up the Start menu, no item on it is highlighted, which is why WindowEyes just said Start menu. There is no highlighted option to read yet. But now that it's up, you can use the up and down arrow keys to scroll through the options. If you use the up arrow key now, it will start at the bottom and come up. Or if you use the down arrow key now, it will start at the top and come down. So let's just see what's in my Start menu. So if I press down arrow once.
N equals new Office document.
That's the first option. Just when I installed Microsoft Office, it decided to put that entry in my Start menu. Up down again.
O equals open Office document.
Again, a Microsoft Office line.
W equals Windows catalog.
A Microsoft entry there.
W equals Windows update.
Everybody's Start menu by default has a Windows update. This will actually go off into Microsoft's web page up there, take a look at what's currently in your system, and make suggestions of things that you may want to upgrade on your system and allow you to actually do that right online. It does require you have access to the internet. Now down arrow again.
Equals free AOL unlimited internet.
Probably in just some sort of advertisement thing that somehow got put on my Start menu for AOL. I'll hit down arrow again.
W equals WinZip.
I installed WinZip, so that's showing up in my Start menu. Down again.
P equals programs pull down.
Programs is the main interface into your Start menu. Notice it said pull down on that, telling me that if I were to open this option, instead of launching an application or doing something, it would actually open up a submenu of all these individual items that I've installed. So a pull down will open up another menu of choices that I can go through. And I can go as deep as I want or as deep as my Start menu allows me. We're going to come back to programs, but let's see what's in the rest of my Start menu. Down arrow again.
D equals documents pull down.
You're always going to have a documents pull down. This kind of just stores the last document you used. If you were in Microsoft Word and you saved a document, it will show up in this particular pull down. Again, it's a pull down, so once I opened it, and I'll show you how to do that in a second, it will give you a menu of the last documents that you've used. So if you saved my favorite document in Word, shut down your system, come back tomorrow, you could go into Documents, open it up, and it would show my favorite document. You hit Enter on it, it would launch Word, open up that document into Word, and you could read it, edit it, whatever you wanted to do. Or alternatively, of course, you can always launch Word and load the document manually from there. Let's down arrow again.
S equals settings pull down.
Everybody's is going to have a settings option. And again, I'm using Windows XP, but I've set my Start menu to the classic style. If I didn't have it on classic style, my Start menu would be very different than 95, 98, Millennium, or even 2000. But since we're classic, everybody has a settings option. And within the settings, the biggest thing you would be using would be the control panel, which is just a bunch of utilities that allow you to configure Windows to do lots of things. But we're not going to get that in depth as far as how to configure Windows. We're more interested in how to use WindowEyes with your operating system and applications. So let's down arrow again.
C equals search pull down.
Search lets you search for files or computers or other things. Everybody's going to have a search option as well. Down arrow again.
H equals help and support.
This is just an online help type of thing for Windows XP to give you some help information on the operating system. Down again.
R equals run, dialog.
Run, notice it said dialog in this case, meaning if I hit this, or rather accept this option, it will open up a dialog box for me and allow me to do something. And with the run, what that allows you to do is just manually type in a file name or something, and that file name will be launched. If I type in something like Notepad, which is a very basic note taker that Windows ships with, it would launch Notepad, and I could go in there and start typing a little note and print it or save it or whatever. Or if I were to type in a document name, like my Word document, my favorite document that I was talking about before. If I would go to the Run dialog and type in my favorite document and hit Enter with the full name and the path of where it's stored, then it would launch Word and load the document in. So Run's kind of a real quick, powerful way to just get somewhere quickly if you don't like to have to go through menus to find something. You can just type it in. Old DOS people will really like this because it kind of gives you that DOS command line feel where you can just run programs from the command line instead of going through the menu structure. Down again.
L equals log off Doug Geoffrey dialog.
Okay, again, depending on the operating system you have, you may or may not have a log off option. This just means log off as the current user. I've logged in as Doug Geoffrey, but I could log in as anybody else that my system is currently set up as. I'll down arrow again.
U equals turn off computer dialog.
And that's the last entry in the start menu. Everybody's going to have a turn off computer option in their system as well. So if I were done with my computing session, I could bring up the start menu, hit enter, and it would turn off my system. If I down arrow again, now that I'm at the bottom, it just wraps back to the top. Let's see.
N equals new office document.
So it just went back to the top. Let's go down into programs again, because I wanted to show you some of the programs that might be in your system. And of course, depending on the applications you've installed, depending on your installation of Windows, nobody's programs menu, or even start menu probably, will be the same, because everybody's system is so different. When I was arrowing down through these, notice it gave me a shortcut. In my case on programs, it said P equals programs pull down. Well, the pull down tells me that that's going to open up a menu when I activate that option, and the P tells me that that's a shortcut. So I could either down arrow 4, 5, 6 times, I forget what it is, to get down to programs and hit enter to open it, or I could just hit the letter P.
P equals programs pull down, A equals accessories pull down.
Which is what I just did. I hit the letter P, and it will take me down to the next option that is the P shortcut. Now, I could have multiple items on my start menu that have the P as the shortcut. If there are multiple items, it will just take me to the item, but not actually activate it. In my case, I only have one P, so it took me there and activated it, meaning it kind of simulated down arrowing to it and hitting the Enter key, which then opened up my submenu. And I'm now sitting one level deeper in menus, and I'm sitting at the first entry, and it spoke accessories pull down, which means that's another pull-down with accessories. But before I go into that, let's just down arrow a couple times. I'm going to down arrow once.
D equals DeckTalk Access 32 pull-down.
So I have DeckTalk Access 32 installed on my system, and it's a pull-down menu. So if I were to open that up, it would show me some other things. Well, let's just see what the WindowWise option looks like. I'm going to, instead of down arrowing, because you may have lots of applications installed, I'm just going to hit a W until I either get to WindowWise or show that it's not there. But I'm going to hit W.
W equals WindowWise pull down.
Okay, since it didn't actually open the WindowWise pull down, that tells me that there's another item in here that starts with a W. And being on Microsoft Windows, that's not surprising. A lot of the things may start with W for Windows. A lot of things usually start with M for Microsoft in your start menu. So I hit W. It took me to the next W, which just happened to be WindowWise. If not, I could hit W again and go down until I finally get to WindowWise. And now that I'm on it, and since there was more than one W, it didn't open it, I'm going to hit Enter to open up this item.
E equals enable and disable video support.
So it opened up the WindowWise submenu. WindowWise, during the installation, created that WindowWise entry, and it created these sub-items that are under it. The first thing is enable and disable video support. This is kind of an advanced option, and it only is available under Windows 2000 or Windows XP. So I'm not going to discuss it. The manual talks about it. But this is an advanced option that you're probably not going to have to deal with. If I down arrow one more time while in the WindowWise pull-down, so I'm really three levels deep now, down arrow once.
R equals readme.
This is the WindowWise readme. If I were to hit Enter here, it would launch Notepad, which is, again, that basic note-taker that comes with every version of Windows, and it would take that text file that describes the latest and greatest information regarding WindowWise and loads it in there and actually allows you to then read it with Notepad. So this is where you could read the current README file for WindowWise, and I strongly suggest that you do read this information because it will have information that's probably newer than what was able to go into the manual. Since the manual takes a lot of prep time and lead time in order to get the manual completed, some things might have changed since that. The README file is something that we can change immediately and distribute it immediately. There's no lead time on it. So this will give you the latest information. Also, as I described in the Braille section, it will talk about all of the Braille displays that WindowWise supports and what all the keys on that Braille display have been configured to do by default. course, you can change those keys, but that's what they will do from the factory. So there's always good stuff in that README, always worth reading. This is one way to read the README file. As we go on into some of the other sections, I'll show you even another way that you can read the README file. As I said, with Windows, there's always, always more than one way to do the same thing. So it's up to you of how you feel comfortable to get to that particular function that you want to do. So let's go down one more time. We're still in the WindowEyes group.
W equals WindowEyes.
This is WindowEyes itself. So if I were launching Windows the very first time, and let's say WindowEyes wasn't running, I could, if I wanted to, go to the Start menu, go to the Programs group, go to the WindowEyes group, down arrow to WindowEyes, Option, and hit Enter, and that would launch WindowEyes. I've already got WindowEyes running, so if I were to hit Enter now, it would tell me you can only have one copy of WindowEyes running, and it would abort that installation or that running of WindowEyes. If I down arrow again,
E equals Enable and Disable Video Support.
I'm back to the top. So there are only three options. We tried to keep this nice and clean for you. There's only three options in the WindowEyes group. Under Windows 95, 98, and Millennium, you'll only have two options. The Enable and Disable Video Support will not be included under 95, 98, or Millennium. If you want to go back a level in the Start menu, you can just hit the Escape key one time.
Menu closed. W equals WindowEyes pull down.
Notice WindowEyes told you menu closed because we closed that third level menu, that WindowEyes menu closed, and now I'm sitting back on the Programs menu on the WindowEyes item. And I could continue to down arrow. If I down arrow one more time,
I equals Internet Explorer.
I went to Internet Explorer. If I go back up,
W equals WindowEyes pull down.
Of course, I'm back on WindowEyes again. So let's escape one more time to go back to Programs.
Menu closed, P equals Programs pull down.
So I spent a lot of time on the Start menu, but I want to emphasize this because this is the interface into your applications. This is a very quick way to get into all your applications that you've previously installed. There are other ways, which we'll talk about, and there are ways that we won't talk about. So this is just one of the ways, which is a real common way to get into your applications. I'm still sitting in the Start menu. I backed out of the other submenus by pressing Escape, so it makes sense to back out of the Start menu by pressing Escape, which is what I'll do.
Menu closed. Button Start.
So I've closed the Start menu, but I'm still sitting on this button that's in the very bottom left corner of my screen, and it just says the word Start, and that's what sighted people would take the mouse and click on. So it closed all the entries. I can't see any more of the entries in the Start menu, but the Start menu button itself is still down there. So I'm sitting on the Start button. If I hit Tab, I will go to the next component that we're going to talk about on your desktop.
Quick Launch Button Command Prompt. Command Prompt performs text-based command line functions.
I tabbed once, and it took me to the Quick Launch. The Quick Launch is the option that we talked about that stores some applications. It's up to you of what you put in the Quick Launch. It's used for a sighted person would grab the mouse, go down to the Quick Launch, and click one time on the option they wanted. The first entry, when I tabbed into it, was red, which is the command prompt. This is kind of the DOS interface into the Windows environment. So if I were to hit Enter on this option, now that it has focus, a DOS prompt would open up, a command prompt rather, would open up and allow me to do whatever I wanted to with that command prompt. Or again, a sighted person would go over there and click. But let's say I don't want the DOS prompt, I want another item in there. Well, I can just hit the right arrow key.
Button. Launch Internet Explorer Browser. Launch Internet Explorer Browser.
Notice that red twice, and if you were paying attention, you might have noticed when I went to the DOS prompt, it kind of spoke some information twice. What's happening is I arrow across these items, WindowEyes reads the item to you. That's what it's been told to do, and it's doing that. But Windows itself also pops up a little tooltip. A tooltip is usually a one-liner that comes up close to the graphic or the item that has focus, and it will just tell you what that item typically does let's say 10 words or less, usually even less than that. In this case, I'm sitting on the Internet Explorer icon in the Quick Launch area of my taskbar, and Windows decided to pop up a tooltip that's called Launch Internet Explorer Browser. So WindowEyes, by default, has been told to read these tooltips as they come up. So WindowEyes read the icon because you went to it, and then it read the tooltip because it was told to do that as well. If I right arrow again,
button, show desktop, show desktop.
Same thing, button, show desktop, and then show desktop again because the tooltip visually showed up. Okay, now, if I want to go to the next component on my desktop, I can hit the Tab key. So I'm going to go from the Quick Launch, and remember, you may not have the Quick Launch enabled, and if you don't have the Quick Launch enabled, then we would have just skipped it and gone right into this next control, which is the taskbar. So let me hit Tab.
Taskbar button untitled Cool Edit Pro. Untitled Cool Edit Pro.
So it took me to the taskbar, and this shows, as I talked about before, all the applications that are currently running. Now by doing this, I just exposed a big secret to you, and that is, you just heard Cool Edit Pro is running. That's one of my applications. Cool Edit Pro is just an audio mixer type application that allows me to digitally record information and manipulate that digital information. So to record this manual, I'm actually using Cool Edit Pro on my Windows XP system with WindowEyes. So Cool Edit Pro is one of my applications that are running. WindowEyes, again, like the Quick Launch, spoke the item that was highlighted in the taskbar, which is untitled, meaning I haven't titled my document yet, Cool Edit Pro. And then it said again, untitled Cool Edit Pro, because that was the tooltip that popped up. So let me right arrow to see what else is on the taskbar.
Button. WindowEyes. WindowEyes.
And there's the WindowEyes, as we would expect. WindowEyes spoke twice again because of that tooltip. Let's see if there's anything else. Right arrow?
Button. Untitled Cool Edit Pro. Untitled Cool Edit Pro.
Now, it just wrapped back around to Cool Edit Pro. So there are just the two items that are running. You're probably just going to have your WindowEyes, because I doubt you're going to have Cool Edit Pro running in the background to record you as well. So that's the taskbar. Let me tab one more time.
Size tray. Button volume. Volume.
Okay, then we went to the sys tray, as it tried to say. The sys tray, again, is on the far right, bottom right of your screen, which holds usually utilities that are currently running. The taskbar usually shows the applications, and the sys tray usually shows utilities. In mine, I have the volume control, and I also have Messenger sitting over there. You might have other things. Maybe your virus detection program is sitting over there. You might have lots of things over there, or you might just not have anything. It really depends. Now, under Windows Millennium and above, you are able to tab to the sys tray. With Windows 95 and Windows 98, you are not able to tab to the sys tray. This is something that Microsoft addressed after Windows 98. But regardless of what operating system, WindowEyes has a nice way to be able to get to that sys tray, which I'll talk about in a little bit. But assuming you are able to tab to that sys tray, and in my case I can, since I'm using Windows XP, then you can just right arrow to go through the options. So I'm going to right arrow.
Button. Windows Messenger not signed in. Windows Messenger not signed in.
Spoke it twice again because I went to the item and the tooltip popped up. If I go over again.
Clock 5:02 p.m. Volume.
My next item is clock, which is 5:02 p.m., which is what I'm recording right now. And unfortunately, it also said volume because I think this is just a problem with Windows XP, but when focus is on the last item, which is the clock, for some reason it pops up the tooltip because even visually on the screen, you see volume. So WindowEyes, of course, spoke what that tooltip was when it came up. And so you can left and right arrow through these options as you want to. If you tab again,
desktop, list view, recycle bin 4 of 22.
It takes us back to the desktop, which is the top portion of the screen. Everything but the bottom line is considered the desktop. And this has visually a bunch of icons on the screen, again, depending on how many applications you have installed and whether or not during the installation the application either prompted you or forced up an icon on the desktop. With WindowEyes, when you installed it, it did give you a WindowEyes icon. And you can arrow through these icons if you want to. I'm going to just up arrow once.
WindowEyes, 9 of 22.
Okay, so you can tell I have 22 icons on my desktop, and WindowEyes happened to be the ninth one of those 22 as I arrowed to it. The problem with these icons up on the desktop is that you can't arrow sequentially through them. I can't just hold down the arrow key and go through them. If I'm on option 9 now, you would expect 10 if I went down arrow, and you'd expect 11 if I hit down arrow again. Well, it doesn't work that way. Because these are visual icons, it's actually just taking you up and down the column. And so if you down arrow and you're at the bottom of the column and there's nothing else, it's going to stop, even though you might not have hit other icons on the right side of the screen or left side of the screen even. So I don't really think it's very good to be able to, or rather, I'm not sure that it's a good idea to want to be able to arrow around through the desktop. There are better ways of starting applications. In other words, one way to start WindowEyes was press Ctrl-Alt-W. So instead of going to the desktop, arrowing to WindowEyes and hitting Enter, you can just do Ctrl-Alt-W. Some other applications may have different shortcuts. Or we also found we could go to the Start menu with Ctrl-Escape, hit P for Programs, W for WindowEyes, and W again to get down to the WindowEyes option, and hit Enter, and that would launch WindowEyes. Lots of ways to do things. Or we could use the Quick Launch that we talked about. Another way on the desktop, instead of trying to arrow to an option, you can just press the letter until you get to the option. Let's say I want to get to Internet Explorer. I'm going to hit the letter I.
I, Internet Explorer, 5 of 22.
5 of 22. Luckily, I don't think there's another I option on my desktop, so the first I took me right to Internet Explorer. If I want to go to My Documents, let me hit M.
M. Microsoft Outlook.
Nope.
M. MSN Explorer.
Nope.
8 of 22. M. Microsoft Visual
nope.
C 6.0. M. Microsoft Visual Source
nope.
Safe 6.0. M. My Documents.
Nope.
1 M. My Computer. 2 of 22.
So it took several presses to get there. If that's the way you like to do things, then you can certainly do that. But once you get to the item that you want and hit enter, that application will actually launch. So let's actually run some applications. Now that we've seen how to navigate around the desktop, let's get a few applications going and we'll kind of show you how you can move between those applications. So I want to run Notepad. We've talked about it a couple times. I want to run it. Several ways we can do that. I'm going to show you a couple. I can bring up the Start menu with Control Escape.
Start menu.
Hit P for Programs.
P. P equals. Programs pull down. A equals Accessories pull down.
And I'm sitting on the Accessories option under the Programs option. I can hit Enter.
A equals Accessibility pull down.
Because I know Notepad is in the Accessories option. So I'm going to hit N until I get to Notepad.
N. Untitled Notepad. Menu closed. Edit box.
Okay, notice it actually launched Notepad in this place when I hit N because there were no other N options in Accessories. So it went to the first N option and actually executed that option as if I hit Enter on the option. And it said menu closed because the Start menu closed up and launched Notepad and said Edit Box because that's what I'm sitting in. So now I can type in
THIS A T E S T.
I just type this is a test and I'll read that line and I'm going to
this is a test.
I'm not going to tell you what key I pressed yet because we'll get to that, but just to show you, I typed that line in, I read the line, Notepad is now running. So if you've been keeping track, you'll know that I have three applications running. I have Cool Edit Pro, which is what's recording my voice right now. I have WindowEyes running, and I have Notepad running, all three applications. Let's say I want to quickly get to the desktop. I want to shut down because I might have several applications running. They may be up on the screen, they may not be up on the screen. One of the keys that Windows gives us is Windows M. Remember that Windows key, which can also be pressed by itself to bring up the Start menu, it has a lot of shortcut keys that you can press with it. But if I hold down the Windows key, which is the key between my Control and Alt on the left side of my keyboard, if I hold that down and press the letter M,
desktop, list view, my computer, 2 of 22,
it very quickly takes all the applications that may be visible up on the screen, closes them down and puts them all on the taskbar, and focuses or puts the keyboard input on the desktop and highlights probably the last item you were on, which in my case was my computer, and puts me right back there. So it's kind of a neat key just to shut everything down, put it on the taskbar, and put focus on the desktop. And so now you can do whatever you want on the desktop. Another way to go between the applications that are currently running is press Alt-Tab. If you hold down the Alt key and do not let go of this Alt key, keep the Alt key down, so I have mine down right now, and if I hit the Tab key one time, I'm not going to let go of Alt, but I'm going to tap the Tab key one time and let go of Tab.
WindowEyes.
It pops up visually in the center of the screen, what's called the task switching window, and it shows all the current applications that are running. Visually, I see three icons on this window. I see the WindowEyes icon, I see the Cool Edit icon, and I see the Notepad icon. And because WindowEyes was the first option, that's what it spoke in this case, and WindowEyes said WindowEyes. I still got that Alt key down. If I hit Tab again,
Untitled Cool Edit Pro,
it shows me that that's the next option application that's running. Hit Tab again, I still not let go of that Alt key yet.
Untitled Notepad.
I'm sitting on Notepad. If I go one more time,
WindowEyes.
I'm back to WindowEyes. But let's say I really want to go to Notepad, so I'm going to hit Tab again.
Untitled Cool Edit
nope.
Pro.
Again.
Untitled Notepad.
Once I get to the application I want, I can let go of the Alt.
Untitled Notepad. Edit box, this is a test.
It then brings that application back to the foreground, puts it back up on the screen, and I'm in that application. So I'm exactly where I was before I pressed Windows M to close it down. So that's a very nice way to be able to move around between all the applications, or even to go to WindowEyes itself, if that's the way that you like to do that. Windows Explorer. Windows Explorer is an application which lets you manage all the files on your hard drive, floppy drives, CD-ROM drives, and network drives. No matter which of these devices you are referring to, the idea of storing information on them is very similar. You can think of how things are organized if you think of how a file cabinet is used. If you open up a file cabinet drawer, you will find several folders. If you pull a folder out, you may notice that there are more folders within that folder. Within those folders, you may find individual pieces of paper or possibly even more folders. All of your storage devices can be thought of exactly like this. For example, your C drive is typically your main hard drive. If you look at it, you will probably find several folders on it as well as individual files. If you look within some of the folders, you may find individual files as well as more folders and on and on. It really is up to you how far you carry this folder idea. For example, by default, all of the WindowEyes files are stored in a folder called WinEyes, which is located on your C drive. If you look in the WinEyes folder, you will see many files and a few other folders. One of those folders is called Manual. Within the Manual directory, you will find many files which comprise of the entire WindowEyes user's manual. Let's start up Windows Explorer and see how all this works. Remember, Windows Explorer is just an application, and all applications are going to be, one way rather, is to access them through the Start menu. So let's bring up the Start menu. I'm going to use Control Escape.
Start menu.
I'm going to hit P for Programs.
PP equals Programs pull down, A equals Accessories pull down.
Accessories is highlighted by default, so I'm going to hit Enter because Windows Explorer is under Accessories under Windows XP and 2000. Under 95, 98, Millennium, I believe that those are under the Programs group themselves. You can just arrow through your options until you find it. But I'm going to go into Accessories.
A equals Accessibility pull down.
Which opened up the Accessories option. I'm going to hit W until I get to Windows Explorer.
WW equals Windows Explorer.
Which was the first W. And there must be more than one because it didn't actually launch Windows Explorer. And if I look further down, I do see there's a WordPad option and a Windows Movie Maker option and that type of thing, which start with W. So I'm sitting on Windows Explorer. Didn't actually execute it yet. If it had, I would have heard Menu Closed and I would have heard Windows Explorer come up. But I'm going to hit Enter to launch it.
Menu Closed. My documents. Tree view. My documents expanded 4 items 1. A 4 depth 2.
Lots of information was given to you. One, it told you that Windows Explorer was there, read the title bar, which was My Documents. It said Tree View, My Documents, opened, and told you how many items were in that. So a lot of information was thrown at you just when the application started up. As WindowEyes moves around, the focus, or the keyboard input, will move from one control to the next control. A control is just a particular type of device that gets information in a consistent manner. WindowEyes names these devices so that you can tell what that particular control wants from you. Visually, a sighted user is going to look at something and say, oh, that looks like this, that means I can do this. But they don't necessarily know that that might have been called a button or a tree view or a list view. They don't necessarily need to know that because they're looking at the control, and by the visual representation of the control, they make the identification of, okay, that means I can do this, either with the mouse or with the keyboard or whatever. Well, if you can't see the screen to get that visual notion of what that particular control does, then we need to give you a verbal indication of what that control does. And the manual goes through and lists all the major controls, and there's quite a few of them. There's 20-some-odd, 30-some-odd controls that Windows supports by default. The controls are just the names that we gave them. They're buttons, radio buttons, checkboxes, list views, tree views, rich edit, all sorts of things. Each one of those, once you learn them, and that's the nice thing of Windows, is once you learn how to interface with one of those controls with one application, you automatically know how to control that control in another application. So I'm sitting on this tree view, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that. So that means if you go to another application that has a tree view, you'll know exactly how to use it, because tree view is a tree view is a tree view. And the same is true for any of the other controls. So Windows Explorer gives us, and I'm going to just kind of describe it a little bit first. I don't want to go into agonizing detail of what Windows Explorer does, because that's beyond the scope of this tutorial. But Windows Explorer is an important component that comes with your Windows operating system, so I think it's worth spending a little bit of time on it. There are three components within this Windows Explorer. There's the tree view we're sitting in, which is the main file cabinet you can think of opening that file cabinet drawer. We're just now looking basically at the outside of that file cabinet, and we want to open that file cabinet and then start looking at that. Then once we have that file cabinet open and we want to look at the individual files, we can go to the next control, which lets us do that. And then there's a couple other controls on here, which really I'm not going to discuss here. It's mainly the tree view, which is that outer part of that full file cabinet, and then the inner part, which is called a list view. But while we're sitting on this tree view, a tree view is kind of like a tree structure, or let's say your family tree. If you think of your family tree, you have, let's say, your parents, and then you have your siblings all listed underneath that, and then you might have all of your nieces and nephews under each of your individual siblings, and on and on and on and on. And so you're kind of traversing through that tree structure to get to what you really want. And with Windows Explorer, it basically puts everything, that top node, you might think of it as your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents, all the way back up to the beginning of time. Well, Windows calls that beginning of time the desktop. Everything starts at the desktop and works down. Now, in my case, and it probably is different on your version of the operating system of where you start, but under Windows XP, it always seems to start under My Documents, which is one of the nodes under the desktop. So I want to go up and just start at the top, the very top node, the beginning of time, so to speak, and move down through it and see what kind of options we have. So I'm going to up arrow all the way until I get to the top.
Desktop. Expanded 4 items, depth 1.
Okay, it told me depth 1, so that tells me that I'm at the highest level and spoke some other information as well. But desktop is where I want to be, so I only had to press up arrow one time. And notice what else it said, and I'm going to repeat that with a key press that I'll talk about in a second.
Desktop. Expanded. 4 items, depth 1.
Okay, so it told me that I'm sitting at the desktop, depth 1, which tells me that I'm sitting on, if you think of this upside down tree, I'm sitting at the roots, basically, of that tree. You can't go any higher at depth 1. And it told me that there are 4 items, and that the item I'm on is expanded, meaning I'm exposing those 4 items that are on the desktop. The nice, and this is all unique to a tree view that I'm talking about. So now that I'm sitting at desktop, it told me that it was expanded, meaning it's showing me those 4 items that are with under the desktop. To expand or to close a node that I'm sitting on, I can use the left and right arrow keys. Since it's already expanded, if I were to hit left arrow, and I'll do that right now.
Desktop closed.
It told me desktop closed. Visually, those 4 items that I was looking at have gone away, and now all I see in this tree view is the word desktop. Let me open it back up with the right arrow key.
Desktop expanded. 4 items.
So when you open up an item, it tells you how many items were within that, which is kind of nice to know as you're going through that. So under desktop, there are 4 main nodes, and then I can work down from that. So again, if we're thinking of your family tree with your immediate family, the node might be your parents, and then the siblings would be under that. So let's go down from desktop. Now that desktop is open, I can down arrow key, and that will take me to the first of those 4 options that we've talked about, that it told us that there were there. It's going to take us to the first of those 4. So one down arrow.
My Documents. Expanded. 4 items, 1 to 4, depth 2.
Okay, so it took me to the first option under desktop, which was My Documents, but it told me that that was expanded, and there are 4 items under My Documents. Well, if I were to hit down arrow again, it would take me into the first item of My Documents. I'm going another level down on the tree, which is not what I want to do. I want to go to the My Computer option, which is under desktop. So in order to get there quickly, I'm going to close My Documents so I don't have to waste my time going through those 4 components of My Documents. So I'm going to close it with the left arrow.
My Documents, D-Files, closed 1 to 4.
Now that My Documents is closed, I can hit down arrow to go to the next of those 4 options under desktop.
My Computer, closed 2 to 4.
That's the one that I really want to go to. I'm not going to discuss the other options. But My Computer holds all the hard drives within your system. It said it was closed, so I'm going to open it with the right arrow key.
My Computer. Expanded 14 items. 2 of 4.
So there are 14 items under My Computer. My particular computer system has several hard drives on it. I have several operating systems on it. So it's a little much more complicated than your particular system. You're probably just going to have a few items. You're going to have your floppy drive, C drive, and maybe a D drive for a CD-ROM or something like that, and then a couple other components that everyone is going to have. So it's definitely more complicated than your particular system. But let's go down through these items, and I want to go down to C. So I'm going to down arrow one time.
3 floppy A closed 1 to 14 depth 3. Dialog. Insert disk closed graphic. Please insert a disk into drive A. Default button cancel button cancel.
Okay, this is one of the annoying things that Windows does. As I down arrowed through my computer after I opened it up, and I went down through all my drives that I have, well, A, the floppy drive, is the first one that I got to. So when I highlighted it, Windows said, oh, you want me to show you the files on the A drive? So it's going off and trying to access my floppy drive, but I don't have a disk in the drive. So it gave me this error saying, insert a drive, and I can hear my floppy drive just churning away over there waiting for me to insert the drive. But it also gave me a cancel button. So, and it spoke that cancel was the default button. So if I hit the space bar to activate that cancel button, then it will give up and go on.
Space. My computer. Tree view. My computer expanded 14 items to a 4 depth 2.
Now notice what it did. It took me off of the floppy A drive option under my computer and took me back to my computer. Now where it takes you back to isn't always consistent. I think it depends on where you came from when you went on to it. But I'm sitting back on my computer, and if I hit a down arrow one more time, I'll be back on A, and I'll be back in this error dialog, and I'll be caught in this infinite loop for the rest of my life. So what I need to do is quickly go past the A, so I'm going to hit down arrow twice.
Local disk C closed to a 14.
So what this did is it took me to the C drive passing A because I quickly hit the down arrow key twice, and it's showing me all the entries on my C drive. Well, again, remember I said my system was a little more complicated? Well, on my system, Windows XP, which is what I'm using, is actually on the J drive, so I've got lots of drives. Typically, yours is going to be on the C drive, and this is where you would normally go. But I'm going to real quickly go down to the J drive so that we can be in sync with the rest of where to find WindowEyes. I'm going to down arrow several times.
To XP J, closed. 9 of 14.
Mine said XP closed because it's not open. I'm not seeing the files on the J drive yet. And XP is the volume label that I gave that drive. But J is the name of the drive, and then I just labeled it XP because that helps me remember that, okay, on the J drive is where I have Windows XP. But I've also got Windows 2000, and I've got Windows 98, all on the same system under different hard drives. So I'm sitting on J. I can expand that to look at the files in J by hitting the right arrow key one time.
XP J expanded 6 items, 9 of 14.
Told me there are 6 items under J, and I want to go down and see what these options are. So one down arrow.
Deck 32 1 of 6 step 4.
So Deck 32 is something that I installed on my XP system, and that's the first drive. That's where I installed DeckTalk Access 32. Down again.
Documents and settings. Closed 2 of 6.
Down again.
Program files. Closed 3 of 6.
When you install applications, normally they'll put themselves in the program's files. Not always, but sometimes. Down again.
WePro. Closed 4 of 6.
Here's a WePro, or what it kind of said, the WePro. Remember when I installed WindowEyes, I overrode the default of WinEyes just because I like to keep things different, and I called it WePro. So this is where my WindowEyes is actually installed. Yours is probably going to be in a WinEyes directory on drive C. Once you get to WinEyes, in your case, or WePro in my case, it said it was closed. If I want to see all the files within the WindowEyes folder, I can hit the right arrow key again.
WePro expanded 3 items, 4 of 6.
And then told me that there are 3 items within there, and I could down arrow through those. But the tree view is only going to be showing me subdirectories, or these folders that are available on this particular subdirectory called WePro, or within WePro there are 3 more folders. But eventually I'm going to get to a point where there are no more folders. But there are files, individual sheets of paper in your folder concept, but I can't see them in this tree view. So I can use the tree view to get to what particular directory I want. And as I've been moving through these, on the right side of the screen, in another type of control, it's been showing me all the individual files for the folder that I'm currently sitting on. So I'm still sitting on WePro. It's opened, and in the tree view, I can see the other folders. But if I look to the right of the screen, I can see all the individual files within the WePro directory. I didn't have to actually open it to see the files. I opened it so that I could see the folders in the tree view, but all the files were still over there on the right side. A nice keystroke that you can press at any time whenever you're within an application is Control-Shift-S for Speak Summary. Let's press that right now. That's the key I pressed before, but let's press it now.
WePro. Expanded. 3 items, 4 of 6, depth 4, desktop, depth 1, my computer, depth 2, XPJ, depth 3.
Gave us lots of information. It told us how many, what item, first of all, we're sitting on, which is WePro. It told us how many items are within that. It told us there were 3. And then it told us what item we're on within the WePro level. So under my J drive, what item I'm currently on. And then it read through the entire node of my tree, starting at desktop, and then it went to my computer, and then it went to J, and then it went to WePro. So it's an excellent way to be able to tell you where you are within this tree view. Just a perfect way to be able to find out exactly where you are at any point. And it doesn't matter what's visually on the screen, so this is kind of a neat feature because even sighted people can't always look at the screen and immediately tell where they are. They're going to have to scroll around or get things visible because in tree views, especially complicated ones, they can get very deep and the information can't all fit on the screen. Well, with WindowEyes, one key press speaks it all, even though it may not be visually on the screen, which is very, very nice. So again, I'm sitting on the WePro entry, but I want to look at some of the files in there, let's say. So I can tab over one time. Actually, I changed my mind. I don't want to look at all the WindowEyes files in there. I want to get to the manual of WindowEyes, because typically you don't want to look at all the program files. One thing, it's dangerous, because if you're in there and you accidentally delete a program file, then you've just made WindowEyes or whatever application you're in not function anymore. So I really want to get to the manual. And if you remember when you installed WindowEyes, it installed it in the WinEyes directory under a manual directory, assuming you told it to install it. So whatever you called your WinEyes directory, it created a manual folder underneath that and put all the individual files in there. So since I've opened WePro and it told me there were three options in WePro, one of them is manual. So let me down arrow through my WePro or your WinEyes folder and let's see what the first option is.
Manual, 1 of 3, depth 5.
Well, I've lucked out. Manual is the first item in there. That's where all my files are. So in my tree view, I don't see them anymore, but I do see them on the right side. Let's do what Control-Shift-S again. I want to see what that says.
Manual, 1 of 3, depth 5, desktop, depth 1, my computer, depth 2, XPJ, depth 3, WePro, depth 4.
Okay, so it read through the note again, told me I'm on manual. It didn't say expanded or closed or anything, so I know there are no more levels to go anymore in here, but I can't see the files. So let's tab one time out of the tree view, and we're going to go to a list view.
List view. Append.txt 62KB text document 9520141 of 1 of 27, no selected item.
A list view is similar to a tree view, but it doesn't have that tree structure. It's just a linear list, just one linear list of items that I can go through. Now you have control over what type of information is being displayed in this list view, and I'm not going to go through all of those options, but in my case, I'm set up for details. So it told me the size of the file, it told me the date of the file, but that's an option that I can set with Windows. It has nothing to do with WindowEyes. WindowEyes is just reading the information that a sighted person can see and the way that you've set up your list view in this case. But I'm going to down arrow until I get to section 1 of the WindowEyes manual. So I'm just
append
down arrow.
Append.txt.
That's Appendix
69KB
B. Down
text.
Again.
Append.txt.
I'm going to silence that. Instead of going through all of the appendix, I'm just going to hit S because my sections start with S until I get to section 1. So I'm going to hit the letter S.
S. Sec01.txt 17KB text document 9520.
I'm going to silence the size and date business of all of that. But now I'm sitting on section1.txt of the WindowEyes manual. And if I want, I can press enter, which I'll do.
Sec01.txt notepad. Edit box section 1 introducing WindowEyes TM. This section of the WindowEyes user's guide provides.
I'm going to silence that. But what's really nice of Windows is I was sitting on a text file, which is section 1 of the WindowEyes manual, and I hit enter. Well, it can't execute a text file, but it can execute an application that knows how to read that text file. So it launched Notepad in my case and loaded in section 1 of the manual and started reading it. It might load in WordPad or something else, but it will load in some editor for you and start reading that document to you. So I could just go up and down and start reading section 1 of the WindowEyes manual. I'm going to go ahead and shut down Notepad. Like any application we talked about earlier, I can press Alt F4 while that application is in the foreground, and it will shut it down. So I'm going to do an Alt F4.
List view. Sec01.txt 17.
I'm going to silence that, but it just took me right back to the list view in Windows Explorer, and I'm sitting there again. Now, if I want to go back and forth between this tree view and list view, I could just do a Shift tab to go back to the tree view.
Tree view. Manual 1 of 3, depth 5.
And it takes me back to the manual entry, which is where I was, and I can just go back and forth, whatever I want to be able to do. There are some other controls, as I talked about, in Windows Explorer, but this is as in-depth that I want to get to with Explorer. You can use Windows Explorer to copy files, delete files, and things like that. But again, that goes beyond the scope of this tutorial. I just want you to get the feel of how you can move around it and how WindowEyes is going to keep up with you and how that Control-Shift-S for Speak Summary is a nice key to be able to read what's actually happening in this particular control that you're in. And there's a section that's going to talk about a lot of these special keys. But let's move on to the next section. But to kind of clean up our desktop a little bit, to make it clean off for whatever we're going to do next time, let's go ahead and shut down Windows Explorer. Just like we shut down Notepad with the document, we can do an Alt F4 while Windows Explorer is in the foreground, and it will shut it down and take us back to the desktop. So I'm going to press Alt F4, and we're back to the desktop.
Using Microsoft Word. Microsoft Word is a very common word processor. Word processors are applications which allow you to compose letters and documents. It offers many, many features. Let's start up Word and show some of the more basic common features as they relate to WindowEyes. I'm using Word XP, but Word 2000 is very similar. Word does not automatically come with your operating system. If you do not have Word installed, please still listen as the concepts can be applied in many other areas.
I'm currently sitting at the desktop, so let me bring up my start menu with Control Escape.
Start menu.
P for programs.
P. P equals.
And normally, Microsoft Word would put itself in your programs group under Microsoft Word, so you could hit M until you get there. I categorized it because I have Office 2000 and Office XP on my current system, and I categorized it all into Office XP. So I'm going to hit O until I get to Office XP.
O. O equals Office 2000. O. O equals. Output O. O equals Office XP.
There
full
I am.
Down.
Hit enter to open that.
M equals Microsoft Access.
And down arrow to get to Word.
M equals Microsoft Word.
Enter.
Menu closed. Document 1 Microsoft Word.
So I'm sitting inside Microsoft Word at this point, but before we can use an application for the first time, it's always a good idea to check with WindowEyes to make sure that it is configured optimally to work with WindowEyes. And if you can remember, one of the ways to do that is when you select the set file off of the Select Set File option from the WindowEyes File menu, there's an option that prints up the README file that comes with each individual settings group. So let's bring up WindowEyes with Control Backslash.
WindowEyes active WOR.
I'm going to silence that. Let's do an Alt-F.
F. O equals open.
I'm going to silence that, and I'm going to hit an F for Select Set File. I'm in the File pull-down. I'm going to hit F for Select Set File.
F. Menu closed.
It brings up, I silenced that. It brings up the Select Set File to Install or Uninstall dialog. I'm going to type in Office.
O-F. Office 2000 Word. Excel. Outlook.
Actually, all I did was type in OFF, and I silenced that again. I'm sitting on Office 2000, which includes Word, Excel, and Outlook. I'll hit Tab once.
Read only edit box A equals application information version Microsoft Office 2000 Word. Excel. Outlook setup.
I'm going to silence that, but this is actually reading the README file that comes for Word. I'm going to down arrow real quickly past some lines that we aren't interested in here.
Microsoft, make sure that these, and only these, toolbars are checked under the View, Toolbars pull-down, Standard, Formatting, and the View, Toolbars, Customize dialog box. Make sure that the checkbox labeled Standard and Formatting Share One Row is unchecked.
That's the main things that I wanted to listen to in this README, but there's a lot more information you probably should read through as well. I was just down arrowing to go line by line by line to get specifically to what I wanted to do just to save time. But basically it said I need to go to the View menu, into the Toolbars pull-down, and make sure that Standard and Formatting are the only two checked. And then it also said I need to go to the View menu, the Toolbars option, and then the Customize dialog box, and make sure that the Standard and Formatting Share One Row checkbox is unchecked. So let's go ahead and do that. I'm going to escape out of our Select Set File or Install Uninstall dialog.
WindowEyes active W.
I'm going to silence that. I'm going to escape again out of the WindowEyes control panel back to Word.
Document 1 Microsoft Word.
So
custom
let's first go
control.
Into the View menu with Alt, then V.
F equals V. V equals View. N.
And I can down arrow one at a time, or again, to save time, going to hit T for Toolbars.
T equals Toolbars Standard Checked.
That's the first one. It said Standard Checked. That tells me that the Standard Toolbar is selected because it said Checked. If I down arrow again.
Formatting Checked.
And formatting. Those are the two that WindowEyes said make sure are turned on. I'll go down again.
Auto text.
Down again.
Control toolbox.
And there's a bunch more down here that we can listen to make sure that those are all off. But I'm going to go ahead and quickly get down to the last option, which is customize, and C is the shortcut. So again, you could down arrow until you get to it, or in my case, to save time, I'm going to hit C for customize.
C. Menu closed. Checkbox. Check this equals show standard and formatting toolbars on two rows. Customize help close toolbars.
Okay, so it read me the checkbox there, but then it read me the dialog again. If you didn't catch that, first of all, you want to make sure that you are on the options tab control. This customized dialog has three tab controls, and it doesn't always come up to the options. So I would suggest, regardless of what you just heard, to do a shift tab.
Tab control. Options.
If it doesn't say options, then left and right arrow until it does get to options. It is the last option on the right, so you can hit the right arrow until you get there. Once you're there, hit tab.
Checkbox checked. S equals show standard and formatting toolbars on two rows.
Okay, so that is checked for me. If it's unchecked for you, you need to hit the space bar and that will check it. It's very important that that is checked because WindowEyes makes some assumptions on where things are on the screen, and if this isn't checked, they're not going to be in those locations. So for me, it's already checked. I can just hit escape out of this dialog. For you, you'd want to hit the space bar if it's not checked and then hit enter to accept those changes. So I'm going to escape out of here and go back to Word.
Custom control.
What I want to do is actually open up a document so we can do some quick things with this just to see what we can do with Word. I'm going to go into the Word file menu.
F equals.
Alt.
F. N equals new.
I'm going to silence that. Hit O for open.
O. Menu closed. Open. Rich edit. File name.
Okay, so it's asking me for the file name. I'm going to go ahead and load in section 1 of the WindowEyes manual. And if you remember, when I installed WindowEyes, instead of accepting the default, which you hopefully did, I called my directory
WePro instead of WinEyes. So I'm going to type in, and it was on drive J because I have several operating systems on my machine again. So I'm going to do J:\WePro\. And it's in the manual directory.
MANUAL\.
And it's section 1.
SECT01.txt.
And hit enter.
Microsoft Word. Custom control.
Okay, so now I'm sitting at the top of my document, and to verify that, I can do control home.
Top of document.
And I can just start
one.
Down arrowing through the document one line at a time.
Introducing Windows ITM. Blank. This section of the Windows User's Guide provides you with...
I'll silence that, but you can read through this with the up and down arrow keys. You can go letter by letter if you go left and right. I'll hit the right arrow key.
H-I-S space S-E-C-T-I.
And all those same... That section that talked about reading relative to the caret, all of that's relative here. To read the current line, you do control center on the keypad.
This section of the Windows User's Guide...
To read the current word, you do... I silence that. To read the current word, you do control right arrow on the numpad.
Section.
Again, spells it...
S-E-C-T-I-O-N.
Third time spells it phonetically.
Sierra Echo Charlie.
I'm going to silence that. But you can see how just reading relative to the caret is the same way. Let me get back to the beginning of the line, which is home. That's a word command.
Beginning of line.
If I just want to select some text, maybe I want to make the word this bold. Well, I can do shift with the arrow keys, and it will actually select individual letters. So if I do shift right arrow.
T. Selected. H. Selected.
That's another one.
I.
Another one.
Selected.
Another.
S. Selected.
So I've just selected the word this, and each letter as I went across, it said that it was selected. If I want to tell what currently is selected, I can do control shift M for read marked text.
This.
And it said the word this. So I know the word this is currently highlighted or selected in my document. If I want to make that word bold, a word command is control B.
Bold on.
I just made that word bold on. So in other words, that particular word is now bolded and everything else is the way that it was before. And I still have that word selected. So if I do control shift M again,
this.
It still says this, but it is now bolded. Now how can I tell? Well, let me go back to the beginning of the line with the home key.
Beginning of line.
And let's read the line with control 5, numpad center.
This section of the WindowEyes User's Guide.
I'm going to silence that. You really couldn't tell. Well, one of the nice things of WindowEyes is it does give you some context-sensitive help, and it'll tell you some keys that will help you. And one of the keys it tells you is how you can tell bold attributes, italic attributes, things like that. While you're in an application, you can do control shift F1, and I'll do that now.
Read only. Edit box. This is the document area of Word XP. Use the standard editing keys to enter a new document or edit an existing one.
I'm going to silence that because we're short on time here, but this is reading you what you can do inside the document area of Word XP. And some of the keystrokes might be of use for you, some may not. But it talks about read to end, where I can do Control Shift R and it will just start reading my document all the way to the end until I hit the escape key to stop it. It also talks about Alt A being an attribute toggle. When I hit Alt A, that means WindowEyes from now on are going to tell you attribute changes, where by default it doesn't. So let's try some of these. I'll escape out of our help dialog. Let's just try Control Shift R.
This section of the WindowEyes User's Guide provides you with the nuts.
And it's
going to
go on and on and on. I'm
going
to hit escape to stop that. And it puts the caret back on the last line that you were hearing when you hit the escape key, which in my case is one line below my word that I just bolded. But let's do an Alt A to turn on attribute changes. I'm going to press an Alt A. This is the WindowEyes command.
Attribute changes on.
And now let me hit the up arrow key to go to the line that had the bold word and listen very carefully what happens.
Courier new 10 point bold. This. Courier new 10 point normal section of the WindowEyes User's Guide provides you with the nuts and.
Notice what it did there was it told you the current font, size, style, all of that, and then read the word, and then when a new change came across, it read you the change, and in this case, it was normal. So it's telling you when those attribute changes are within your document. So if you want to proof your document, that's an excellent way to go through and just verify that things are set the way that you really want that to be. Let's just real quickly kind of check out the spell checker inside Word. I'm going to do Control Home to go to the top of the document.
Top of document.
And I'm going to type
section
in
one.
A misspelled word on purpose.
T-E-S-T-T-I-N-G space.
Okay, so I have the word testing with two T's in here. I'm going to hit F7. That's a word command to go into spell check. We could go through the menus and do that as well, but I'm going to hit F7.
Not a dictionary testing. T-E-S-T-T-I-N-G.
So it told me that the word testing was not in dictionary, and it spelled it out to me, so I could tell that there were two T's. Now, you could use the normal word commands to go in there and manually change that, or you can use some WindowEyes commands to maybe help you out a little bit as well. We can do the same thing here with our context-sensitive help to find out what we've done for the spell check dialog. You can do Control-Shift-F1 here, and it'll list a lot of keys.
But again, in order to save time, I'm just going to kind of list some of those to you. There are three main keys in the spell check that you may want to use. Insert W will repeat the misspelled word or the grammar error that it found. So let me do an insert W here.
Not a dictionary testing. T-E-S-T-T-I-N-G.
Another one is insert R, which will tell you what its replacement or its suggestion is for this misspelled word. So let me do an insert R.
Testing. T-E-S-T-I-N-G.
So that's what it suggests we make it. And if I want to get some context of where this word is, I can do an insert S to read the context around this or sentence.
Testing section 1.
Okay, since I went right at the beginning of the document, I put it right before the word section 1. So there's not much good context there, but you would normally get whatever's around that. So I get all this information. I get the context, I get the word that's misspelled, and I get the suggestions. And again, we can use normal word to tab to the next controls and move around within the controls to go to other suggestions that might be there, or we can add this word to the dictionary if it is spelled correctly. We can do lots of things, but this is up to you and your Word documentation to be able to do that. But basically, I wanted to show you that WindowEyes is just going to be right there with you. No matter what you're doing inside Word, WindowEyes is going to tag along. We can do finds. We can do spell checks, as we've seen. We can go into the dialogues. We can bold text. We can verify text is bolded. All of that is just done seamlessly with WindowEyes. Of course, we've already configured WindowEyes for all the Office products as far as we've gone XP, 2000, and there's even some 97 sets in there as well. So let's go on to the next section and see some of the other applications.
Using Internet Explorer. Microsoft Internet Explorer is a free browser which is used to surf the web. By surfing, I'm referring to the ability to intelligently find information and research certain topics on the web. There is a wealth of information on the web, and WindowEyes makes it extremely simple to research what is out there. This tutorial will simply give you the very basics of how to surf the web. As of the recording of this tutorial, version 6.0 of IE is the most current version available. If at all possible, you should be using this version, or if a newer version is available, possibly that version. IE 5.5 is the minimum version that is supported with WindowEyes. Both IE 5.5 and IE 6 are included with your WindowEyes CD for your convenience. If you have WindowEyes running, when you insert the WindowEyes CD, you can go to the Advanced Options button. This opens up a dialog with several options. One option is to install IE 5.5, and another is to install IE 6. IE 6 is not supported by Windows 95, so if you're using Windows 95, you must install IE 5.5. For all other operating systems, IE 6 is suggested. Again, if a newer version of IE is available, please contact GW Micro for its compatibility before installing it. Appendix F of the WindowEyes manual should definitely be read, as it contains all the information specific to how WindowEyes interacts with IE. You should, without a doubt, read that appendix. Let's start up Internet Explorer and do some basic surfing. I'll be using IE 6 since this is the version which comes with Windows XP. My system is connected to a DSL line. This works very similar to a dial-up account, but is active all the time and is much faster than a dial-up. Okay, actually I'm already sitting inside IE and I'm sitting at a particular web page, but let's say that I want to just jump to a particular page. You would first launch IE and maybe the default page is the page you want to go to, but in my case I want to go to GW Micro's homepage and take a look at that. Then we'll go off to CNN and we'll do some searching on Yahoo, and that should cover this section. So if you're in IE and you want to go to a new page, you can hit the IE command, Control-O. I'm going to hit that now.
Combo edit box. O equals open. Dialog open.
Okay, it puts me to the open dialog, and I can type in the URL or the complete web address that I want to go to. In my case, I want to go to www.gwmicro.com. So let's type that in.
www.gwmicro.com.
And hit enter.
Loading page. Load done 3 frames. Frame welcome to GW Micro visited link GW Micro unleashing the power of your mind.
I'm going to silence that, but I'm going to explain a little bit about what just happened, because every web page, this is the format that it follows. When you load in a web page, you're not limited by what's visually on the screen anymore, and you're not limited by all the columns and information, and it can be so mind-boggling even visually to be able to read certain web pages. What WindowEyes will do is it will wait for the page to completely load into your browser. And if you try to read it before it's done, it will beep at you and say downloading page, so you know that it's still downloading. Or you could press Alt-S for status, and it will read the status line, indicating how much more IE has to do before it comes back. It might say 17 graphics waiting to download or something like that, so that's a good indication. But once it's done coming through the phone line or the DSL line or whatever you're connected to, then WindowWise will say loading page, meaning that it's now bringing the page into WindowWise. It takes the entire web page, not just what's visible, but the entire web page, brings it into WindowWise and gives you kind of this quasi-word processor mode. Remember we talked about Microsoft Word and how you can kind of navigate around within Word. Well, you have basically that same functionality. Of course, it doesn't have spell check and all those fancy things, but you can go up and down through the document. You can do searches in the document and many, many other things within this particular web page that you have loaded. So it gives you a lot of power. So you're going to hear downloading page, then you're going to hear loading page, meaning it's coming into WindowWise, and then you're going to hear load done, and depending on how long or how big that page is and how fast your system is would warrant how long it takes to bring it into WindowWise. But usually we're talking about, on typical pages, less than a second. Large pages, maybe a second or two before it comes into WindowWise. And then it's going to give you a little bit of information about the page. If there are frames, which are basically groupings on the web page, it will tell you how many frames are on that page. If there are tables, it will tell you how many tables are on the page. Sometimes tables are used for formatting purposes. Sometimes they're really there for layout purposes, where you really have a column header or a row header and you kind of want to navigate around it like a spreadsheet where you want to go cell by cell and maybe read the column titles or row titles. And we'll talk real quickly about tables as well. So it gives you a basic information of what's going on. Also, another indication that it will give you is if this page uses Flash. Flash is a new technology that's available that a lot of web designers are using that kind of gives you a movie representation of what's going on. It's very visual. And in the past, it's been inaccessible, but now with WindowWise and working with Macromedia, the developers of Flash, we've come up with a way to make that accessible. And if you come to a page that has Flash, WindowWise will tell you that. The manual goes into more detail about how to handle Flash pages as well. But once we get the page up, we've heard this information, now what do we do? Well, WindowWise brought it in, it decolumnized it all, so we can just read it in a linear fashion, top to bottom. So I'm sitting at the top, and I can just hit down arrow.
Frame, welcome to GW Micro.
That's the name of one of the frames. That's the way of grouping the web page. Not all pages have frames, and in the past, people have told you stay away from frames. They're not accessible. I would say quite the opposite.
This is the end of Side 2 of the WindowWise 4.2 tutorial. The reading will be continued on Side 3. Thank you.